This episode of Bun in the Oven is sponsored by Penny and Lola. A family-run children's company born in lockdown exclusively bring you the Happy Song Toys. If you're a parent or a YouTube fan, I can almost guarantee you've heard the incredibly catchy song by Imogen Heap, the Happy Song, this one. The founders of Penny and Lola's new baby was soothed, like so many babies, by the video of the Happy Song, and an idea was sparked to recreate the lovable characters, Cat, Badger and Rabbit, in cuddly toy form, which my daughter absolutely loves. So much so that when we gave them to her, her first words literally were, "I just love them so much, Mummy." The song was designed to make children happy, so these cuddly toys are intended to do exactly the same. Cute and quirky, each toy is soft and fluffy and has squidgy beanie arms and legs, perfect for little hands to hold onto. Each toy is baby safe and CE and UKCA certified. With the purpose of sharing happiness, the founders of Penny and Lola felt it was important to support a cause that is really deserving and chose the NSPCC. So you know with each purchase, the happiness will spread a little further. As a listener, you can use this exclusive offer of 25% off all Penny and Lola toys by using the code BUNINTHEOVEN, all capitals and all one word. There's a dance, dance, dance going on in my heart,
wherever we are. Man meets woman, man marries woman, man has sex with woman, woman gets pregnant. This is the story we so often hear about how children are made, but this is just not the reality for everyone. My name's Holly Grant. I'm the founder of The Bump Plan, and you're listening to Bun in the Oven, a podcast that explores the myriad of challenges and routes to becoming and being a parent. For the last 11 years, I've worked across the globe as a Pilates instructor and advanced pre- and postnatal fitness specialist. During that time, I've worked with thousands of people, have heard hundreds of stories about fertility, infertility, pregnancy, and parenthood, and have learned so much about the often rocky road to becoming a parent, which I find fascinating. Bun in the Oven will dive into the many different ways children are brought into this world and what parenting really involves. I hope you find this podcast a huge source of support and that it helps open all our minds. In this week's episode, we'll be talking about the realities of becoming pregnant when you're self-employed or a business owner, including navigating mat leave and working out how on earth to replace yourself in your own business. My guest is founder and CEO of Well-To-Do, Lauren Arms, and I will also be talking about my experiences being a mother and a business owner.
You know, I guess it's the same as growing a business, isn't it? Like, to your earlier point, in so many ways, you're winging it. And so, you know, we've done that. We've proven that we can get through challenges and overcome hurdles and figure things out as we go. And it's almost trusting that you have that ability to navigate uncertainty and to find solutions together, and that you'll do that again with this new chapter.
Lauren Arms is the founder and CEO of Well-To-Do, a global industry platform for the wellness industry. She is the leading business coach for experts and coaches in the wellness sector and hosts both the Business of Wellness podcast and Experts. As well as coaching some of the industry's most respected entrepreneurs and influencers, Lauren has been featured as an industry expert on the BBC series The Apprentice, as well as by The Times, Evening Standard, Glamour, Red and more. Also, here's a little bit of information about me, given that I'll be sharing my experiences on this episode too. I've worked in the fitness industry for the last 11 years. I'm an experienced Pilates instructor, advanced pre- and postnatal specialist and personal trainer, the owner of the Pilates PT studio in London and founder of The Bump Plan. I'm obsessed with helping women exercise for the right reasons, especially during their pregnancies, and I'm an absolute hater of all things diet culture. I've worked across the globe teaching thousands of women and featured as an expert for the BBC World News, the Sunday Times, Evening Standard, Vogue and more. Oh, and I also host a podcast, in case you don't know. In this episode, Lauren and I discuss the concerns, considerations and logistics of having children when you already have another baby, your own business. In this episode, Lauren is pregnant with her first child, so is in full-on preparation mode, and I'm over 2 years deep in the juggle, having a toddler myself. I hope this episode helps those of you in a similar position get your head around the juggle and understand what to expect when you're expecting. See what I did there.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Holly. I'm excited.
You're welcome. And we've done this before. I've been on your podcast.
This is just going to be like the audience are a fly on the wall listening to us catch up.
It's so nice to speak to you because we both own businesses, it's actually really difficult to lock either of us down and ever actually have a conversation. But for our listeners, Lauren and I have actually known each other for a very long time. Lauren trains with us by the Bump Plan, and we've worked together, we've been friends together. So we've known lots of different bits about each other's lives. So it's actually just really nice to speak to you for an hour.
So nice.
So let us know then. I've given a really lovely glowing bio of you from an external point of view, but it would be really great to get an idea of you as the businesswoman and what a typical day looks like for you as someone who owns their own business and is also pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I run multiple businesses, so I'm wearing multiple hats, and I guess being a mum's just going to be another hat that I add to that that repertoire. But I started out initially launching a business called Well To Do, and actually you were one of the first people I ever kind of interviewed. I remember I came to the studio to kind of check out the Pilates PT, and the reason that I started Well To Do is because I really wanted to start a business in the wellness industry. And so I was fascinated by meeting other people who had made that transition, particularly from another career, which I know you did, and was pursuing, you know, something that you're truly passionate about in that industry of well-being. And this is, you know, 7.5 years ago, where London's kind of wellness scene was very, kind of trend driven. It was like green smoothies and, you know, Lululemon leggings and very almost like fluffy. A lot of media coverage was kind of a bit piss taking around wellness. And I was trying to talk about it in a way that professionalized the industry, but also looked at it as a really fast growing industry from various perspectives. And so the first business, Well To Do, was born. And I guess over the years that followed, I kind of got clearer on the type of business that I wanted to run. So we went from being an industry platform to an events business running conferences. And then kind of personally, my interest in really supporting business owners one-to-one evolved into a business coaching business. And then more recently, we've launched a few kind of spin-off businesses, which are really kind of about solving problems that we saw businesses within the wellness industry have, like needing digital marketing support or needing recruitment support. And so I now have this almost portfolio of businesses that just solve various problems within the wellness industry. And my kind of capacity in those various businesses differs. But I guess this is where we're going to kind of dive into it a little bit more. I've really focused on building businesses more recently that don't rely on me so much, which is always difficult when you start the business and it is you and it's your blood, sweat, and tears and your, you know, personal reputation that is the sort of foundation for those businesses, to then evolve those into something that have a strong foundation of a team and, you know, and can be delivered without you is the ultimate challenge, especially when it comes to, you know, having other things going on in your life other than just running a business, which can be pretty all consuming, as you know.
It's really difficult, isn't it? When you were, you know, you were the one who set the business up, you've been the face of it the whole time. You know, it's not something that you were in the background for, where it was maybe like a product that was led. It really, everyone's here because they want to hear your knowledge and you're the expert. And so it can be really difficult, the thought of ever taking time away, because if you are the product, what happens when you're not around? So I think it is really important and also so clever to start to try and navigate your business towards a way where you don't have to be there. And you can still make money from the business whilst you are hopefully on maternity leave.
Yeah. And I think you have to make a little bit of a choice, because I remember early on in building Well To Do, you know, I was hosting all of the events. You know, I was very present for everything we did in person. And, one sort of January, we were in Australia and we were scheduled to run an event and I wasn't going to be able to do it. And I, you know, said to one of my team, she's not with us anymore, but at the time she was in a very different role within the organization. And I said, would you be open to hosting this event? And actually, she was really excited by that opportunity. And I suddenly realized that there is a part of it that's a choice that you make as to how reliant you want your business to be on you. And it's a little bit of like an ego play as well, because, you know, when you're an ambitious entrepreneurial type, you're typically someone who likes to be in control. You like to think that, you know, if you want a good job done, then you might as well just do it yourself. You know, it's hard to see someone else caring in the way that you do about your business. And yet that was like a first taste for me. And she did an amazing job. And it was amazing that Jamie, my husband, and I were able to go to Australia and be away from the business. And, you know, I was logged in on, you know, online at 3 a.m. watching this event take place without me. And people had a great time. And it was really refreshing for them to see somebody else host the event. And she, you know, was able to kind of step up into this new role. And it was my first kind of, I guess, proper foray into outsourcing the things that I'd previously thought only I could do in my business.
It's really difficult, I think, as well, when you're in a particular niche. You know, the reason why you have been so successful is that no one else was really doing what you were doing. Like you said, I think everyone used to laugh at the fitness industry. I've been in it for just over 10 years now, and it's very different now than it was 10 years ago. And, you know, I think it's really difficult for you in some ways, because it is so niche what you do. And so finding someone who can replace you, as much as we don't want to imagine being replaced, but someone who can cover for you is really, really difficult. And I think that's what I struggled with the most, is that if it is your face, and like we've said, you know, people are there to hear from you, it can be really difficult to let go. But there is always someone out there who can do that. You are not the only one in the world. But obviously you don't want to imagine that. You want to think that you are the only one in the world. But it is just taking that step back and dropping the ego and letting someone else step forwards for you.
Yeah, and knowing that it's not going to happen overnight too. I'm sure you've experienced too with kind of training people in your methodology, or having somebody represent your brand. It's not going to be that you hire them today and they're able to fully step up and replace you tomorrow. It's having the foresight. And I think, you know, we'll talk about this when it comes to kind of planning a family and how that fits into things, that as an entrepreneur, you don't have the luxury of being able to, I mean, I'm sure it happens, but accidentally find yourself in a scenario where you've suddenly got to take on this role of motherhood. And thankfully it takes 9 months to make a baby. So that works in our advantage too. But, you know, recognizing that it might be a process of training and empowering and, you know, communicating to your audience in a new way that you're going to be involved in a slightly different capacity, and that these other great team members are going to come in and be able to provide a different sort of value. You know, maybe they bring a different level of expertise or a different just energy or vibe or personality that in some cases may actually resonate with clients that you would never have attracted into your business if it was just you. And so for sure, I've learned that, yeah, building a business that in which I'm, you know, not indispensable is a long-term play, not an overnight fix.
And something that you're really strong with is hiring people to help you. I think when you're a business owner, it's you wear lots and lots of different hats, but it doesn't mean that you have to or should. And so, you know, you can end up having to do the accounts, having to do the marketing, having to do the social media. And that's lots of different roles to have to hire for if you leave it to the last minute. So talk to us about what a typical week would look like for you then, given that you do also have a team around you that can help.
Yeah. And in that way, my role in the business has very much evolved. So, you know, for someone listening who is either starting out in a business and feeling like you're juggling all of those, you know, different roles and wearing all the different hats, that was very much what my day-to-day looked like in the beginning as well. Bookkeeping, you know, customer service, operations, marketing, the whole shebang. And over time, I have identified not only what I'm not good at, but also what I don't want to be good at. And there's a difference there in the sense that for sure I could do our bookkeeping. Like I possess the skills to be able to reconcile an invoice and a payment. Like we all could do that. But the question for me in my mind has always been, is it the best use of my time? And from a commercial perspective, is it the thing that's going to generate revenue in my business? So when I look at my week now, it's very much a focus on revenue generating activities that I am best placed to do. And there's an amazing book that I recommend to all of my clients called The Big Leap, which is by a book by Gay Hendricks. And he talks about, you know, operating in your zone of genius and the fact that we have, you know, these different levels of participation in our business that we could play or could have, right from, you know, a zone of competence to a zone of excellence, right up to your kind of zone of genius. And those lower echelons are a reference to things that, like I said before, you could do for sure in your business. But the question like over them is, should you be doing that or could you be having someone else do it? And if you were to free up your time away from doing those things, could you be spending more time in your zone of genius doing the things that make you more money? So it's a trade-off. And so if I kind of look at my week now, it's a lot of team management. So I probably have more internal meetings than I used to. Checking in with the team to make sure that they're feeling empowered and clear on the vision and know what they need to be doing and supporting them with solving problems that they encounter. You know, a lot of the time over the last 6 months has been spent really refining processes in our business. So taking the stuff that's in my head and being in my head for, you know, 5-6 years and putting it into almost a project management system where somebody else could follow those steps, which is, you know, is time consuming, but in the long term can save you so much time because they're the types of tasks that you think, do you know what, it only takes me 5 minutes to do it and it's going to take me half an hour to explain it to somebody else. But if you only needed to do that once and then you never had to do that 5 minute task again, you would be in such a better position. So I focused a lot on that over the last, let's say 9 months or 8.5 months. I've got a baby coming in a few weeks. And so then I can spend the rest of my time doing what I would call revenue generating activity, like indirectly things like hosting a podcast, which, you know, I'm the brand and I'm the expert behind our business. And so I do that, but I don't write the questions and I don't set up the Zoom link. You know, they're the bits that I do outsource. I obviously have one-to-one clients that I work with, so I do that part of it, but I don't manage the customer service around that. I don't, again, do the scheduling. I don't send the follow-up forms. I outsource all of that to other team members. So a lot of, I guess, my week is spent delivering value to clients or potentially selling to clients. So sales and delivery, not so much kind of marketing and operations and admin and processes. That's the stuff that I kind of am delegating. And then the gaps are kind of plugged with team meetings and checking in and making sure everyone feels clear on what their next steps are.
And that's so important because, you know, before you have your baby, you know, having to do things like bookkeeping, if you don't enjoy it, is quite annoying. And you might be thinking, oh, my time could be better spent, you know, seeing another one-to-one client or working on my social media. But then as soon as there's a baby in the mix, doing the stuff that you could have outsourced becomes actually a feeling of resentment. You're thinking, I could be spending time with my baby right now, or I could be going and meeting other mums and doing all the things that other mums do. And that's when it changes from being annoying to actually really quite upsetting, and you can just really resent the business. So I think what I didn't do is, you know, we kind of went into me being a mum, like, okay, so we might be earning less when the baby's here. So we need to really rein things in. You know, what can we do ourselves? It's like you, my husband is my business partner. So we were kind of doing the opposite. We were like, what can we scale in? What can we bring home? And so, you know, why I really wanted to talk to you today is that I didn't get us into a position where I could take a mat leave. And I was, you know, as soon as Freya had a nap, even if it was on me, I'd be there responding to emails, calling clients, taking payments, doing a podcast, you know, desperately hoping that she didn't wake up or breastfeeding her whilst doing it so that there was no noise. And they were all things that I quite liked doing before Freya was born. But then actually there was a period of resentment. And I think when I look back, I do still kind of resent the fact that I was in labor, literally taking someone's car details, bouncing on the ball, like, I hope I've got long enough before my next contraction to take these car details. And so in hindsight, and why I think it's so important we talk about this, is that if you have your own business, that's your first baby, and you can't imagine ever resenting it, or you can't imagine ever caring about anything more than the business. But then when the baby comes along, that does change quite drastically. And it is such a shame when you then do have to divide your time between them and you have guilt and you start to resent your business. Mm. So anyone listening, do what Lauren did. And I know it can be really scary from a financial point of view, but, you know, in some ways it's going to cost you more if you don't do that, because you do not have the same amount of time when there's a baby there. They just take up so much of your time, and you just can't ever imagine how much of your brain space they take up as well. So yeah, you've definitely done the right thing. I hope life would have been so different. I've got a PA now, but Freya's 2 years old, and having a PA is the best thing I've ever done. And I just wish I'd done it sooner.
Yeah, and that's why this podcast is so valuable for mums listening. You know, there'll be things that I wish that I'd done and that someone else will have prepared for that I won't have known about. And it's why, you know, the way that our society is so different to the way it used to be. And I often, you know, even truth be told, there's a member of my team, one of my employees, who's just gone on maternity leave. And I, you know, envy the fact that she's got 12 months off. I'm like, you know, maybe part of me wishes that I could just have that straightforward maternity leave. And people are asking me, oh, so, you know, are you having a break? And I've scheduled a full month off, but after that, it will be a process of reintegrating back into my business and thinking of ways to outsource. You know, like, we're already having a conversation with a nanny, because frankly, like, there are still parts of the business that are reliant on me. So, you know, as much as I appreciate you saying that, you know, do what Lauren's done, there are still going to be elements of my business that I can't outsource. It's just the nature of running a business and juggling these two challenging commitments that we've made and we've chosen to make. And recognizing that you've kind of got to create your own playbook around it. And even though I haven't entered this new chapter yet, I am very much learning to give myself permission to do things the way that is just going to work for me based on where we're at in our lives. And for sure, it would have been, you know, there would have been better scenarios where we could have been further along in having a more scalable business, or certain things that, you know, I could have brought more team members in to run that we just haven't had time to. And it's just a lot of self-acceptance and just a lot of looking at or making the decision to choose to look at the positives of the scenario that we've created. And I'm sure it was the same with you and Stu, the fact that, you know, Jamie and I feel so grateful that we're going to be at home together, juggling this mess and this chaos and this transition together. You know I don't have to do it alone. And that's such a gift as well, that we don't know exactly how this is all going to play out. It's going to be different to the average couple that go through this transition into parenthood. But, you know, we've figured out how to run and grow a business, so we'll figure out how to navigate having a family alongside that.
You just have to work out along the way. I think that's literally parenthood. No matter what, you're just kind of winging it all the time. And I think where it is so different from, you know, let's say you have a couple and both of them work full time, you know, they're employed by a business. They will, the woman would usually, you know, really have to think about, where am I at in my career? And, you know, when's the right time to have a baby? And it's quite sad, I guess, in some ways, that we do have to think about, when is the best time for me to have a baby, rather than when do I want to have a baby?
Yeah.
But for both you and I, we also work with our partners. So it's also, if both of you have to work it around, you know, when is it the best time for the business, and when is it the right time for us to have a distraction? For you guys, was this something that you'd always kind of knew was gonna, you know, be a consideration? Because for us, yeah, we kind of had to work it around when would be the best time from a business point of view, which is ridiculous when you think about it.
Yeah, so much so. I mean, you really do have to think time of year. You know, prior to the pandemic, we had, for example, a big annual conference that took place in June, which meant we ideally wouldn't have a baby, you know, due around that time. Ironically, our baby is due in June, but we're not running the conference anymore. And so you have these conversations where you're like, going back in the calendar saying like, when is going to be the best time from a business perspective to have a baby around product launches? And most people don't have to think about that at all. They just think like, okay, let's try for a baby. And the reality is you can't plan your conception either, as much as you'd like to say, let's get pregnant in November so that we have a June baby. Like, that doesn't happen either. And you know, we went on our own journey with that as well. I think it's, you know, it was definitely something that we delayed, quite honestly, because it wasn't a good time financially for us to have a family. At the time that we conceived, Jamie had only been in the business for a year. So frankly, he was still kind of finding his feet, finding his role, finding, you know, areas in which he could take things off my plate with a view that eventually we would be in a good place to have a baby. You know, there's lots of restrictions around it that you just don't have to consider. And I mean, perhaps you consider other things like the fact that, you know, if you're an employed woman having a baby, you know, you do earn less on statutory maternity leave, and lots of companies have limited options around additional maternity benefits and so on. That's definitely something that needs, you know, a continual improvement as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of addressing around flexible working and so on. So it's just a different set of considerations, isn't it? But like you, I was a central part of our business. So it has been a real focus for us over the last 8-9 months to say, how can we develop additional products, revenue streams, parts of the business that are less reliant on me having to actually physically show up and be there. And that's presented a whole new set of challenges, because we've been doing that amidst a pandemic where, you know, that's thrown a spanner in the works as well.
It's also opened up lots of opportunities as well, hasn't it? Because now people are used to dealing with somebody or being offered a service from home. So
right.
For you, like you said, you know, you and Jamie can be at home, and you can still, you've already worked out how to earn a living from the comfort of your home. So do you think the pandemic will have helped business owners to be able to continue to work from home? Because that is a real beauty when you have a child. You know, during the pandemic, I was teaching live classes, and luckily Stu also works from home anyway. But if you ever look at our schedule for the live classes, they tend to be when Freya is asleep. So, you know, there would be always a lunchtime class, because I would know that Freya would be in bed. So even if it was my day for childcare, I could still put her to bed, put the baby monitor on, and come and teach a class. And I think that our eyes and the world has been opened up to being able to offer services from home, and that is only going to help mums and women who have their own businesses.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, like me, you've got a lot of clients who are also mums, and somebody said this to me the other day, because there's a period of time where for one of my digital offerings, I am actually going to have to disappear for a month, and I'm working on kind of bringing in some other experts and facilitators to help deliver what I would usually deliver. And I had this real nervousness around it. You know, what are people going to say if I'm not there? Are they going to want their money back? You know, like, are they going to be disappointed? And I've had to just accept that this is the reality right now, and somebody said to me the other day, you know, it's going to be really inspiring for your clients to see that you can find that balance, and that you have set boundaries, and that you have decided to prioritize this chapter in your life, and that it's a short time, and that there's ways for you to compensate. So I've given them like extended access to me for some additional time to make up for it. And I am bringing in some amazing guests to help facilitate that period of time. And I'm kind of going above and beyond to compensate for it. But at the same time, you know, this comment to me was, remember that that also inspires a whole new generation of women who also crave that type of flexibility and, you know, and want to see other women successfully balancing the two. And it was a really nice reminder for me to not feel self-conscious or guilty about it, but to actually kind of take it in my stride and say, yeah, you know, I am going to have to make some compromises here. I'm doing everything I can to compensate for that. And at the end of the day, if someone gets upset and complains about it, then they're probably not the type of person I want to have as a client anyway. Do you know what I mean? And I can just kind of feel good about it instead of going into my maternity break, in inverted commas, with a sense of guilt already off, you know, straight off the bat.
Yeah, so true. And I, going back to kind of showing other women that it is possible, often the comments that I get on Instagram, you know, whenever I ask people, like, you know, why do you follow this page, or what do you like to see, the number of messages from women who say, like, I like seeing the kind of honest juggle, or like hearing how you organize things and how you juggle things. You know, I do think that women want to see that and see that it is possible. And sometimes I think that the thought of telling your clients is worse than the actual telling them. Because I was teaching in studio at the time, and I had clients that I'd seen for years. And, you know, we're quite an expensive studio. So our clients expect, you know, a certain level. And when I found out I was pregnant, I was so nervous about telling my clients, and I put it off as long as possible, but I wear tight clothes in the studio, you know, there's only so much you can breathe in. And in the end, like the day I was like, I'm going to have to tell them, I was so nervous. And I just felt that they might be like, oh, well, that's it now. We're going to lose her, or she'll be distracted. And actually, they were all really, really lovely. And same when I had to make a decision, I was living in Oxfordshire and I was commuting into London, standing up all day, commuting home, often not getting a seat. And so I decided, like, I don't think I can do this past about 8 months. I'm going to have to stop then. And again, the thought of telling the clients, like, I'm going to have to stop soon, was far worse than actually telling them. I think people are decent and they know that, you know, you've chosen to have children and that's such a joy. And, you know, that's what happens as women. We're the ones that carry babies. And, you know, you have to be allowed to have children, even if you have a business.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah, for sure.
This episode of Bun in the Oven is sponsored by The Bump Plan. Given the theme of this podcast, I imagine that some of you are currently pregnant or planning a family. So many women I know just aren't sure how to move their body safely during this changing time. Or they want to stay active but need someone to show them the way and hold their hand. That's where The Bump Plan comes in. The Bump Plan is a holistic prenatal fitness plan that allows you to work out with confidence at each trimester of your pregnancy. Founded by myself, Holly Grant, the Bump Plan has already helped over 10,000 pregnant women stay active safely and feel empowered throughout their pregnancies. Through its trimester-specific workouts, in which I'm always at the same stage of my pregnancy as you will be in yours, hypnobirthing subscription and extensive education hub, you'll feel supported and part of a welcome community. Let me help you move safely through your pregnancy, maintain your fitness and strength, and enter parenthood strong and prepared for all the demands it poses. As a listener of Bun in the Oven, I'm offering you £5 per month off the cost of your monthly subscription to the Bump Plan, simply by entering the code BUN at checkout. To get started today, simply head to pilatespt.co.uk/the-bump-plan and enter the code BUN at checkout. That's B-U-N in lowercase to get £5 off the monthly cost of the Bump Plan. Join our community today and stay strong throughout your pregnancy.
Cool. So you're taking a month off after the baby's born, and then after that you're just going to kind of see how it goes. The beauty is that you've got Jamie at home, and I always feel the need to kind of mention how I can only do what I do with Freya because I have Stuart at home. I don't know how women do juggle it when they do have a partner who's at work full time. But you're lucky as well that you're going to have Jamie there to kind of help navigate that.
Yeah, and it's such a gift for him too. You know, that's the lifestyle that we've created. And for sure, there have been compromises in that. You know, Jamie had a career that he, you know, that he paused on to come and join the business and do something that, you know, frankly, was never in his career path projection. It's probably the same with Stuart, you know, probably never imagined himself co-running a Pilates business. But we made that decision as a couple because we wanted to create a certain lifestyle for ourselves. And that lifestyle for us is having the freedom to spend part of the year in the UK and part of the year in Australia. And so our focus has been a lot on growing a digital business, and also so that, you know, at some point in the future, and that point is now, we could have a family and that he could be as involved as he wanted to be as a dad as well. And, you know, so that's a choice that we consciously created for ourselves, a life that we consciously created, which means, you know, that for me as someone who is an ambitious, driven woman, and I know you've experienced like the shift in priorities and I haven't experienced that yet. I don't know how I'll respond, whether I'll suddenly be like, business, what business? I don't want to run a business anymore. I just want to have babies, and that might happen. But I'm not foreseeing that. I'm foreseeing an eagerness for me to want to go back to working with clients and being busy, you know, running my growing business, and that I will still have that ambition, and that we're in this really fortunate position where, you know, maybe Jamie looks after the baby 2 days a week and I look after the baby 2 days a week, and then we bring someone in to help us the other days, so that we can, you know, find that suitable balance for us. And I don't know what that looks like, but our plan is that, you know, I have a 4 month off and then we bring someone in 2 to 3 hours a day, which enables me to just kind of slowly get back into the swing of things. We're fortunate to have Jamie's parents not too far away, and they're really excited about being involved. My parents are in Australia, so, you know, they're not going to practically be that useful. But yeah, it's just going to be, you know, I guess it's the same as growing a business, isn't it? Like, to your earlier point, in so many ways, you're winging it. And so, you know, we've done that. We've proven that we can get through challenges and overcome hurdles and figure things out as we go. And it's almost trusting that you have that ability to navigate uncertainty and to find solutions together, and that you'll do that again with this new chapter.
Yeah, I think a lot of the skills, I was thinking about this earlier on, a lot of the skills that you learn when you've got your own business, like jumping from a marketing meeting, then going over to a social media meeting, to then hosting a podcast, is kind of like juggling a baby in a business anyway, you know, or even just bringing up a child, you know, being able to jump from one thing to the other. And you're so used to already doing that. Like, even if I take today, you know, I had to teach a class 7:30 till 8:30, but I wanted to make sure I'd spent some time in. We bring Freya into bed in the morning and we have a cup of tea and she has a banana and a bottle of milk in bed, and we read books and stuff for about half an hour, listen to the radio. Now, it's kind of a non-negotiable for me. Even if I'm working that day, I'll get up early, do my hair and makeup, get back into bed, just so I have that with her. So, you know, like, you get, and that's the beauty of working for yourself, you know, you can do stuff like that. So you do that, you're a mum, then you come down, I come down to the office, teach a class, then I go back.
Wipe the banana off your top.
You know, getting out of bed, put your sports clothes on and teach a class, go back, have breakfast with her, drop her at nursery, quickly deliver the starter packs for the bomb plan, come back, have a meeting, you know, and you're so used to constantly juggling different things that I do think it actually really does set you up, and it does help. Going back to your comment about priorities, I think that's kind of probably what I got the biggest shock about. I think when it's with your, and you know, things might be really different for you, but my personal experience was, you know, I knew, because Freya was my first, you know, I knew that things were going to be different when she was here. But I think me and Stuart probably both got a bit of a shock as to how distracted I was. So, you know, I had a really tough labor with Freya. So I do think in hindsight that probably played into it a bit, but I kind of came home with Freya and I just was not bothered about anything else. I was just like, I just care about Freya. And, you know, Stu was like, cool with that for a while. And then after a while, he was kind of like, you are going to probably need to like do just maybe just, you know, do a few things on social media today. And I'd be like, no, I just want to be on mat leave. And I was really resistant to it. I was really quite frustrated and just kind of like, I don't care. And when your husband is the business partner, I think that's quite scary for them because they're like, oh God, what if she really doesn't care anymore? And we no longer have a business. And I think that he found that quite scary. And I can completely see why. Whereas all I cared about was Freya and I was so focused on her. And so then I did start to worry as well. Like, is that it? Maybe actually I do, like you said, and maybe I just want to have children and, you know, and just stay at home and be with her. But then it does start to creep back in. And I think as you start to get a routine and you start to feel more you again, because you don't really feel like you for quite a long time. As soon as you start to feel like you again and no longer just mum, you start to get that drive back again and that like, oh, I really want the business to succeed and oh, I really want to start a new podcast. And it just starts to kind of creep back in. And then 2 years later, you know, you're back where you were before, or in some ways, you know, things are even better than they were before Freya was born. So I do think that it's worth mentioning that it babies just change your life immeasurably. And I do think that can affect the business at first. And that's why it's so important that you've got a team around you who aren't affected by it. Because for you and Jamie at the beginning, it is just so distracting. But I do think it comes back. And that's why there are so many business women out there who do have children and do still have really successful businesses.
It is
at first.
Yeah. And, you know, I haven't been through that period yet. So, you know, it's really powerful to me. For me to hear that insight from you and to prepare for that as much as you can prepare, you know, for the unknown. I think it's about not getting too attached. And I think this generally applies to having a baby as a business owner, not get too attached to things having to go a certain way, in the same way as you can't get too attached to your birth plan or, you know, to the idea of breastfeeding or to the idea of what having childcare or going back to work on a certain date. You know, there's a level of let's just see how it plays out and being comfortable with that uncertainty that I've really had to lean into. But I think to, you know, to your point, it's really about trusting that the business that you've built will support you. And that one thing I have been told over and over again by mums is everything is just a phase. You know, when things are going really well, it's just a phase. When things are really hard, it's just a phase. And I've been really grateful for that advice because I think it'll be true of this initial chapter of going into running a business and being a mum. You know, it'll just be a phase. And it's even how you described it, that eventually things shifted. And, you know, perhaps then you start to think about your business being a legacy to show your little, you know, little person in your life that, you know, working hard really matters and that building something of value and with purpose really matters and that you want to show them that it's possible and all of these sort of more inspirational elements that you're probably not really thinking about when they're, you know, a newborn baby. And something that you said earlier too reminded me as well that I think I'm very aware that I probably waste a lot of time during the day. Like I think of myself as an efficient person, but one thing that I observed with, you know, people in my life like you who are now, even when you described your kind of typical day, it's like so much of the stuff that you fluff around doing, like, you know, with a million tabs open, trying to do a million things at once, suddenly become super efficient and you're like, don't need to do that. Don't need to spend time, waste time on that. Like that meeting is irrelevant. Cancel that meeting, make that a 5-minute meeting instead of a half hour meeting. You know, I can just picture myself getting much more focused, much more disciplined. And for the reason that you described, because my priorities will have shifted. And that's why they say, you know, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person, right? Or ask a mum.
Yeah, it does really focus the mind. And I think you get organized because you have to get organized.
Yeah.
Mum guilt is something that I didn't realize was so strong. And there was somebody who did a great reel the other day about it. And they were saying like, you know, when you're sat on the floor playing with your child all day, you're then feeling a bit guilty about the housework or the emails you've not replied to. When you're sat doing your emails, you're feeling guilty about not spending time with your child and not doing the housework. And then when you're doing the housework, you feel guilty for everything else. And it's just that, you know, when you're a mum, you can't really win, but it's also just being okay with that. And that it's guilt because you love your kids. You know, it's guilt for a good reason, I guess. But you definitely feel that when you have your own business, you know, and there'll be occasionally some mornings where I am in bed with Freya and then I'm like, right, Freya, I'm going to get dressed for work now. And she's like, mommy, no, another book. And you feel so guilty, but also, you know, that once you've gone, they won't care within 5 minutes. So you do get really, really good at being efficient and deciding like what matters and what doesn't matter because your child means so much to you. But yeah, I think you get efficient because you have such limited free time. And I think that's probably the thing I struggle with the most is that when you're not working, you're mothering, and when you're not mothering, you're doing housework and there isn't much like you time. Business, like when you have got you time, you're thinking about the business anyway and things you haven't done. So again, it almost prepares you for that.
Yeah, it's so true. And actually, I think, you know, for anybody listening to this who has lived through the last year, our lives have become so much more simplified anyway. It almost feels like a really good time to have a baby because Jamie and I on the weekends now will often say, like, what did we used to do with our time? Like, where did we used to go and what did we fill our calendars with? Like, we can't remember. There's just so much more space in our lives now that I honestly don't remember what we used to spend doing. So it's like by default of going through this pandemic, we've actually carved out time to start a family and we just can't wait to fill that time with, you know, just our little family bubble. And yeah, that maybe we won't have the same, you know, general life priorities that we used to have before. And it's just accepting that it's a new chapter of your life and looking at all the positives that come from that as well.
Yeah, definitely. You've almost had like a phased introduction
to
being at home. You know, you are at home a lot when you're a baby, so it won't be any different, really. What are your kind of biggest concerns? Because I know you've known about the baby for a long time and you've planned lots. Is there something that you are still nervous about?
I definitely prefer to have certainty. Like I said to you before, like a characteristic of a typical entrepreneur is that you have chosen that path because you want to have control over your destiny and your day and your life, you know, and the lifestyle that you're creating. So to be faced with a situation where you just don't know, from little things like how long is it going to take for me to recover from giving birth? I don't know. You know, how am I going to feel about, you know, suddenly having this dependent human on me 24/7 when I've only had to really think about myself up until this point in my life, you know, and frankly, I'm probably like quite a selfish person in that regard. Like, I think just the fact that women are having children later on in life means that you've had more years to get more self-absorbed. And so I guess it's all of those unknowns of how, you know, how I'll handle that transition, how I'll handle not being able to get up and do things that I want to do in my day. All of the things that we've talked about, the fact that I will have to put projects on pause, you know, there were things that I wanted to launch this year that I'm not going to be able to because the timing's not right. And I've had to quite consciously, in a way that I haven't really before, stop comparing myself to others. I haven't actually experienced that in the way that I have more recently, in the sense that, you know, I'm seeing people launching things or growing their business or on this trajectory or planning things that, you know, frankly, I'm not going to be able to do. And so that is definitely something that I'm going to struggle with, that my identity and my definition of success has been so intrinsically linked to my business, to the extent that, you know, if we're catching up as friends and you say, how are you? What I hear is, how's the business going? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, or like, what have you been up to? I'm going to talk about my business. It's been everything to me for the last 7 years. And, you know, and that's about to change pretty dramatically. So yeah, it's the concerns that I have around the shift in my identity, the shift in priorities, the unknowns around how I will cope with it all. You can have a perfect picture of what you want it to look like, but so much of it is out of your control. And that's in some ways quite terrifying, in other ways quite liberating and a good challenge for me.
That's so honest. And I'm so glad that you said those things, because they are things that I definitely worried about. And now with the benefit of hindsight, you know, so let's say, for example, you know, the fear of pausing, you know, and seeing other people continuing on. I think that is so valid. And, you know, I guess my advice as well to anyone listening who's also feeling the same is that really not everyone is going to know that you're on pause either. Like, people are so busy. And even if you think about social media, you know, there might be people that you haven't seen on there for 2 months and you don't know that it's because they're on holiday or they're ill or they're taking a break. It's just, you just don't think they've come up on your feed. And then one day you see them again and you're like, oh yeah, I remember Lauren. And then you just kind of pick up from where you left off. So, but I think that's completely valid. And, saying about when people ask how you are, it's the same, you know, really what they are asking is like, how's work? You guys okay? It will just flick to you thinking that they're asking how the baby is. So then you're fine, like they're sleeping through, or, oh gosh, it's been such a bad few nights. It will basically just switch to that. But that's still lovely, because that really is such a big part of your life. I just think wherever you are in your life, it's so easy to do. But, you know, for me, I slightly struggle with, you know, I've just listed earlier on what my morning is like, what my day is like. And then even today, you know, we've got this, and then I'll have like an hour to do social media. Then I'm getting Freya from nursery, because then I'm not putting her to bed because I'm teaching a class. So you're always kind of rushing. And I think where it's easy to compare once you're a mom is comparing yourself to people who then don't have children. So now I think these young influencers and young fitness instructors who I can tell they've probably had like 2 hours to get ready before they teach a class. And I'm lucky if I've like remembered to draw my eyebrows. It's really easy to compare when you're a mom, like with people who've got a bit more time. And, you know, I think you just have to remember that, you know, you're just at different life stages to them. And, you know, they might be comparing themselves to you, you know, and only you know as well how much you've had to rush to get ready. But yeah, I do definitely suffer with that sometimes with like the younger girls, and just knowing how much I've rushed to get ready. But I'm not sure if anyone else notices. Like now, you know, my hair is scraped back, I haven't even got a jumper on, but you know, no one else knows what you've been doing. And so I think it's, yeah, really valid concerns, but I think you just get used to them. They just evolve with you as you go along.
Yeah, and you're right, you know, even with building a business, you have the temptation to fall into the trap of looking at someone who's 5 years down the road from you and wishing that you were there. It's, you know, in so many ways, this is just these are the perils of social media, aren't they? That it can be presented in one way, but we just never know what's kind of going on behind the scenes. And all you can do is focus on what matters to you, what defines, you know, success for you, what's going to make you happy, what's going to allow you to feel healthy and sane and, you know, present in your life. And focus your energy on that and make conscious decisions to not get sucked into the vortex, to practice habits that, you know, like not starting your day looking at social media, because it's not going to help you to feel good about the current scenario you're in where you're juggling baby vomit and a business or whatever. I really appreciate that feedback from your experience as well.
And also remembering, you know, the reason I've only had 10 minutes to get ready is because I chose to have half an hour in bed cuddling my daughter. So, you know, it's all a choice, isn't it? What are you guys most excited about?
My quick fire answer would be finding out if it's a boy or a girl, because it's still a surprise.
Someone who does like to know what's going on.
I know that's really incongruent, isn't it, that we decided to keep it a surprise. But it just felt like one of the biggest gifts for both of us to not know, to find out when it happens. So we're really excited about that. We actually have also just bought a house, and the proposed completion date is my due date, which is hilarious of all of the days of the year that our house could complete. Although it's probably more likely that we'll complete than have the baby on that date at this stage. So yeah, it's all kind of happening at once. And we feel like we're entering, you know, this really wonderful new chapter for our little family, moving into a new space. And it's true what they say about nesting. You know, I thought that that was some kind of mythical pregnancy experience, but you do just have the urge to, yeah, get organized and make a space for your new family. So we'll definitely have all of the kind of foundations to be able to do that, which is just so exciting.
It's bonkers, isn't it? You're like washing baby grows, even though they're brand new.
I know.
Just cleaning everything and driving the partner mad. So that's a really good sign. So then I guess finishing off with kind of your final top tips, you know, even if they're ones that you have briefly mentioned. So if anyone's listening to this who is in a similar position, either they're thinking of starting a business and they know they want a family in the future, or they have a business and they're pregnant right now, you know, what would your top advice be for at least going into motherhood feeling organized and sorted?
I think to not just read the picture perfect stories of what pregnancy and motherhood looks like, but to really have your eyes open to the reality of it. There were very sort of simple truths that I only found out by talking to other mums, to listening to, you know, this type of podcast where it's like real stories, real insights that made me realize, you know, that I can't just have a baby and then just go straight back to work. Like, just not realistic physically or emotionally. And to prepare much further in advance than you think you need to. So I've truly never been more organized in my life. Like, because of all of the things that we've talked about, like, I had my hospital bag packed at 34 weeks when most women might think about it 36, 37 weeks. You know, I got all of the stuff organized, you know, halfway through my pregnancy, not leaving it to the last minute, because the gift that I want to give myself is to make this chapter and this transition as easy as possible for myself, not harder. Like, it's already going to have its challenges. You know, when we started talking about trying for a baby, we had to have, you know, I mean, Jamie and I have some really honest conversations about where it meant our business would need to go, what we would need to put in place, who we would need to hire, where we would have to get help, you know, personally in our lives, whether that was having a cleaner or a nanny or, and again, for me, surrounding myself with other businesswomen who are happy to talk about what they outsource. There's an Australian money coach, and her name's Denise Duffield Thomas. And she wrote this really powerful blog post. She runs a multi-million dollar business, right? And she shares in this blog post all of the things that she outsources in her personal life to enable her to run a business and then spend really quality time with her children. And to not, and the purpose of this blog post was to not give women this unrealistic picture of what it takes to be successful in business and be a great mom. And to not look at women like her and say, how have you got it all? Or how have you managed to, you know, like, so that women who look at her don't feel bad. And to be frank with you, you know, I had looked at her and thought, you know, how do you have four kids and run a multi-million dollar business? Like, that's insane. And she actually just laid it all out. She's like, we have a housekeeper that comes in. I have someone do my cooking and cleaning. I don't feel guilty about it, right? Like, I don't subscribe to mum guilt. I have, you know, someone pick up the kids from school. I outsource all of this stuff in my business and I pay for that so that I can spend more time when I am working doing, like I said before, the revenue generating stuff. And then when I've got free time, I'm not doing washing. I'm spending it with my kids. And the cost of that pays dividends because I'm a better mom and I'm a better businesswoman. And I was like, we just need more women to be more honest with those types of learnings. And it was just so empowering to be given permission to not have to do everything. And that is like the biggest, I think, challenge for women generally, is that, you know, in order to be successful in business and in life and as a mom, you know, that you've got to compromise yourself, for example, or something's got to give. And actually, my biggest learning was that you've got to outsource, right? That you've got to say yes to anyone who wants to help you, and to choose not to subscribe to the guilt that is associated with the expectation that you've got to do everything.
Oh, it's so true. And I think there's this kind of feeling that people might judge you if you admit that you have a nanny or you have a cleaner or you have a housekeeper. But anyone judging you, they don't have the same life as you. They don't have the same responsibilities as you. And if you try and do everything just because you don't want anyone to judge you for taking on help, you won't be able to do it and you will burn out. And then what's the point? So yeah, I think it's trying not to care what anyone else thinks as well. If it works for your family, then you have to do it, because nobody else, no one is you and no one has the same responsibilities as you.
Yeah. And she made this, you know, hilarious but true point, which is your kids aren't going to remember that you washed, you know, their rugby jerseys for their team. Like, they're going to remember that you were there on the day at the game. And that is the priority that you would choose if you're going to then also run a successful business alongside being a mom. So yeah, I found that really valuable. And then, not that you've asked me to mention this, Holly, but like, it's been so helpful to be also just active and, you know, make good choices for myself through my pregnancy. As tempting as it's been to chow down on crisps and veg out on the sofa, I've been super active. I've been a member of the Bump Plan. I have learned so much from being part of your community in terms of, you know, when you don't feel like being active because you're growing this baby and I'm now carrying like 7 pounds of additional weight on my front, you know, getting up and doing Pilates is not like the thing that I immediately think I want to do, but it's definitely helped to keep me focused and productive and able to manage all of the things that we've talked about in the podcast. And so, yeah, I've absolutely loved that you've created that resource for like busy women like me. And everything that's gone with that, with the education hub and the other benefits of just being part of a community of active mums.
Oh, bless you. That's really kind. And I love that it was made while Freya was in my tummy. I still look back at those videos and it just blows my mind that that was Freya in there. We're trying to teach her at the moment. We were showing her some videos of me with Freya in my tummy, and we were trying to explain to, like, you used to live in there, and it just blows her mind. And now if you ask her back, who used to live in mummy's tummy, she goes, daddy. You're not getting it, are you? But it's so funny when she sees videos, she sees that I look different, but she just cannot get her head around that she used to be in there. And I love that. I love that I have that as a memento of my pregnancy, that I can show her when she's older and say, you were in there while I was doing that.
Oh, it is amazing. It's so crazy, isn't it? And I think that too, you know, that you can watch those back and you now know it's Freya. And I'm in that stage where, you know, I just have a bump. Like, I don't know who it is. It doesn't have a name or a face. It's just such a surreal experience, isn't it? And to even think that a baby, once they're born, you kind of look at them and you think, how did you even fit inside me? It's just mind blowing.
It's a miracle. It really is. Oh, Lauren, it's just been so nice to get to talk to you and to see you, but that's been so helpful. You always give just such amazing advice, and it would be lovely to kind of speak to you again in a year's time as well, because you'll continue to learn and you'll continue to juggle, and, you know, I'm sure that we would really get some valuable advice from you then as well. So see you in a year's time.
Totally.
So thanks so much for being on the podcast, Lauren.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Firstly, I want to say a huge thank you to my guests today for being so open and honest about personal topics on such a public platform. That takes real bravery and will help so many others. I genuinely believe that one person's honesty can help free many. If you found today's episode helpful, please do head to the show notes to find links and support our guests feel may be useful. Secondly, this podcast can only help those who know about it. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you could rate us with a 5-star rating and leave us a review, or hit follow to be the first to hear when our next episode lands. While podcasts are easy to listen to, they take a lot of effort to create, and your support in sharing Bun in the Oven will help me encourage more guests to join me for future episodes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and enjoy the rest of your day.